Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the many listeners who not only tune in this country, but all around the world, but also to welcome to the show four exciting, experienced, and individual players of the game who've come together to show off their talent, their humour, their verbal dexterity, their humorous ingenuity, as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And sitting on my right, it's Paul Merton and Clement Freud. And sitting on my left, it is Stephen Fry and Tony Hawkes. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to hold the stopwatch and keep the time running for me and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Drill Hall, a venue near the Soho District in the centre of London. And we have a wonderful cosmopolitan audience drawn from all parts of this great capital city. And we're ready to start. And Stephen, your turn to begin. The subject now is what not to say to the Queen. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
I should point out that Nicholas, tomorrow at the time of recording, is going to the palace to receive from a grateful sovereign an OBE.
Paul, why did you challenge then?
I'm sorry. I thought we were wandering into the realms of fantasy here.
No, it's true.
Are you going to the palace tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Are they still looking for cleaners?
Yeah, I saw the job advertised. I thought I might go fly. You know,
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I know, yeah, well, thank you very much. Stephen, you thoroughly embarrassed me, but thank you very much. And Paul's thoroughly amazed. And you were interrupted, so you get a point. And what not to say to the Queen is still the subject starting now.
Above all, refrain from saying ma'am. They really dislike this. They say it makes them sound like a shopkeeper. Ma'am is how it should be said. Remember that, Nicholas, if you can.
I will indeed. Thank you very much. Tony, your challenge.
Very technical challenge here. Mm. He said the same word twice, but pronounced it differently.
Oh, gosh.
Technically, that is a repetition of the word, and it was just pronounced differently.
No. Absolutely.
He pronounced
not.
It quite differently, so we learned to get away with it. He has the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, thank you so much.
And 34 seconds, what not to say to the Queen, Stephen, starting now.
Jimmy Tarbuck, at the end of a Royal Command performance, famously said, oh, that reminds me, I must buy a stamp, which went down rather well. And there are many odd things like that which you can say to your ruler, to your monarch, as you please, to your...
Yes, repetition of to your.
Tony, you've got in at last with 21 seconds on what not to say to the Queen, starting now.
Tommy Cooper said, are you going to the cup final, Mom? And she said no, and he said, can I have your ticket? Which I thought was quite a good thing to say. Not to...
Clement Challenge.
Hesitation.
All right, benefit of the doubt. It's got nothing to do with you in the audience. I have to make those difficult decisions, and I get three people antagonised whenever it doesn't go their way. Clement, a benefit of the doubt, 13 seconds, what not to say to the Queen, starting now.
I think Stephen's right, it's absolutely right. You shouldn't say mum, nor ma'am, nor especially golden odie.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of nor.
Oh, nor.
There was quite a few of them.
He was spelling one with a K and two R's.
Can't have advertising on the BBC.
Well, Paul gets a point because he got the subject, and Stephen gets a point for his interruption there, which the audience enjoyed. There's the little bonus points I give out on occasions. 7 seconds available. But Paul, what not to say to the Queen starting now?
Get your coat, darling, you've pulled. It's always a wonderful moment when you get the chance to say that to the sovereign of your country, and what a wonderful night we had the last time I did that.
Well, all I can say is if I am up there tomorrow, I have got some things I could say, haven't I?
Yeah. try that last one.
Yeah. I'll repeat yours.
Yeah, get your coat, darling.
Yes, right. Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. And, what a wonderful apt subject for you, comic timing. The man who who illustrates it all the time. But tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Comic timing, I suppose, is about pauses, rhythms, undertones. The sound of Groucho Marx delivering a line is distinctive to me as Louis Armstrong's trumpet. I suppose that what you...
Tony, challenge.
Repetition of suppose.
Yes, you did.
Oh, he's pleased with himself.
You started off with I suppose and then you repeated it. Right. Tony, you've got him with 50 seconds to go on. Comic timing starting now.
Sometimes Nicholas does comic timing when he lets the minute run longer than it's actually gone because we're all enjoying it so much and boy do we fall about when that happens. On this show I'm speaking, of course, you can talk for as long as you like when you're with him normally. He doesn't really interfere. It would be unreasonable if he stopped you all the time.
Chairman challenge.
Seven he's.
Mm. Yeah. Not he's. Not he's.
A sharp challenge, but
six.
Seven.
Six.
No, he was counting.
Okay.
32 seconds, Clement, with you on comic timing starting now.
I think one of my favourite jokes is, what is the difference between a Vichyssoise soup and a Mars bar?
So, Paul, challenge in the middle of your comic timing.
Yeah, I thought you'd stopped.
I think he
I don't mind sort of like withdrawing the challenge if the comic timing.
Can we find out
the
difference, whatever happens? Because I'm dying to know.
Is there a payoff to that one?
Is there a point in it?
Points mean payoffs.
Right. Paul, you got in with a correct challenge on hesitation, of course. 22 seconds, comic timing starting now.
You can't fry batter Vichyssoise soup. So anyway, I was walking in the street the other day and I said to this man, I said, excuse me, what are you doing? He said, let me tell you. So he took me through a very long, windy little corridor and he told me at the end of it was the secret of comic timing. So I walked very slowly down this passageway.
Tony, challenge.
Repetition of slowly?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Well done. I'm glad you listened to yourself, Paul. And
to be honest, I was boring myself rigid.
7 seconds, back with you, Tony. Comic timing starting now.
It's very important to turn up on the right evening. If you go on a Wednesday and you're booked for Thursday, poor timing, and you will...
So, Tony Hawkes, the speaker, as it went, and, he's getting quite a strong lead. He's one ahead of Stephen Fry, two ahead of Paul Merton, and three ahead of Clement Freud. And, Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, nannies. Tell us something about nannies in this game, starting now.
Nannies have eight legs and are absolutely delicious when they are curried, as they tend to be in the West Indies, Tobago, Trinidad, Jamaica, St. Lucia, Guinea, you name it. They do exactly that to a nanny. Nannies, in the plural, which is the subject we have, are two goats or more. Also, this depends entirely on your social status, can be a grandmother or a governess, someone who looks after children. Nannies are in the plural because...
Stephen Chance.
Second plural, I thought.
Yes.
Oh. But the old darling hates to be patronised, you know.
We are playing Just a Minute, and it was a correct challenge,
Stephen. I'm sorry,
so you have nannies, and you have 21 seconds starting now.
I've never eaten nanny goat. I dare say it's rather nice, stewed or fried or curried or any way that Clement mentions it.
Pony to challenge.
Is that too many oars all close together?
There were three or four very close together, so we give you the benefit of the doubt, that one. And you can't have too many oars in the show, and...
Morning, dear.
Right, hold it.
You have your cocoa in a minute.
I was actually playing for a play on words and failed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It doesn't matter. Right. Well, you should be sorry because I failed.
Yes,
right.
Who's going to see the Queen tomorrow?
Actually, since this is going out in a few weeks, how was it when you met the Queen? Did you pull?
It was established when Stephen's only talking about it, but at the time of the recording, he did say yes.
Fine.
So we gave you a bonus point for that. And 16 seconds, Tony, for you. Nannies starting now.
I recently applied to get a nanny, but when they discovered that I wasn't married, had no children, and had written down fit blonde between the ages of 18 and 25, they refused me. I was deeply disappointed, and I rang them the next day saying, "What's going on with this organisation? I'm prepared to..."
So, Tony Hawks is speaking as the whistle went then, and he's increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Tony, it's also your turn to begin. The subject is moving the goalposts. An interesting phrase, a very topical one for the time of the recording. Would you please talk on the subject starting now?
How useful it would be to the England team in the Euro 2004 event if they could move the goalposts every time an opposing attacker came towards them, and David James could unscrew the bottom bit that keeps it fixed into the grass, because that's how they do it, lift it up, carry it towards the corner flag, and then say, "There, shoot at that, you..." Hello. Anyway.
Clement, your challenge.
I thought that was deviation.
Why?
Hello?
Oh. You're being too subtle, Clement. It was hesitation, and you know it, so you've got the subject. And the 35 seconds, moving the goalposts, starting now.
Moving the goalposts is only significant if the pitch remains in the same place. I think that's really all I have.
I think this show is going to be remembered for the occasions when poor Clement Freud made a lot of statements which got a huge reaction, and then he retired afterwards.
That's right. Too deep for me, that one.
Oh, it was delightful.
Very deep.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation. Moving the goalposts with you, Paul, and 28 seconds starting now.
I suppose it means changing your... I haven't spoken, so it can't be the second time I've said suppose. The first time I've spoken on this subject, I can't have said suppose than once.
You said suppose when you were talking about comic timing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in this round. What are you challenging for, Clement?
Well, I want to get in first.
I think the chances are I am going to say suppose is you give it to him, I think.
So that was like a psychic challenge, really.
Yeah, I think I was going to say it again, so you might as well.
Anyway, they enjoyed what Clement said. Give him a bonus point for that. Paul was interrupted. He keeps the subject moving the goalposts, and 26 seconds starting now.
Supposing you have...
What? Oh.
Oh. He's a cunning old devil, isn't he?
You've been hatching that plot all along. Oh, yes.
I fell for it.
Stephen fell straight into it. So, supposing instead of suppose, 24 seconds, another incorrect challenge. It's still with you, Paul. Moving the goalposts, starting now.
When I was 12 years old, I used to play as a goalkeeper for a company called Little League, and it was established around the Morden area. And basically, as a young boy, you would go along, enlist to play for a particular team. And my favourite position was between the sticks, because I had quite long arms, and I was quite good at catching the ball.
And Stephen challenged.
Quite long arms, quite good.
10 seconds, Stephen. You've got in there on moving the goalposts starting now.
I suppose that if one were...
repetition of ha.
Oh, now, come on.
No, indeed, I won't. But Paul, I'll give you a bonus point because I enjoyed what you said. But Stephen was interrupted there, and he has 9 seconds, and he gets a point for that, of course. Moving the goalposts, Stephen, starting now.
If I were to move the goalposts on this particular game, I might talk about marigold. I might repeat, deviate.
Tony challenge.
Or repeat might.
Oh, repeat
good.
Might.
Good point.
Yes. Tony's got another point, and he's got 3 seconds on moving the goalposts starting now.
It's not a good thing to do.
Stephen Challenge.
He said good in his earlier part.
He did indeed. You talked about how good it was.
A good thing to do.
You said it would be very good if James, the goalkeeper, moved his post out of the corner.
He's done well, and I think he's a good up and coming player.
Stephen, 2 seconds are left. You've gone in there with moving the goalposts starting now.
Supposition aside, one of the most necessary.
Poor challenge.
Did you not say supposition?
No,
he didn't. We've had supposing, I suppose, and now supposition. Well done, Stephen. You've fooled them all. Half a second on moving the goalposts starting now.
There could be no question, I feel.
So Stephen Fry, with a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's actually now overtaken Tony Hawks. He's two ahead of him, and he's three or four ahead of Paul Merton and Clement Freud in that order. Stephen, your turn to begin. The subject is my favourite poet. Can you tell us something about that person in this game, starting now?
Oh, well, I suppose my favourite poet used to be Whiston Hugh Auden, W.H., rather like Smith's The Station, as he was known as, a great, great balladeer. Oops!
Oh. It's so easy if you don't concentrate for a second, isn't it? This is the toughness of this game, and the fun of it as well. 52 seconds, of course, repetition, right? My favourite poet is with you, Paul, starting now.
I didn't do many poets at school. John Manley Hopkins, the brother of...
Gerald Manley Hopkins had no brothers.
John Manley Hopkins was raised
by brothers, it's fair to say. Yes. Jesuit brothers taught him, but he had no... There was no John Manley Hopkins. You can take that to the bank, yes.
Yeah. He didn't actually have a brother.
You have no idea.
I know that he was raised by brothers in a Catholic order, and I thought for a moment that's what you're referring to.
I was trying to think of his name, and I only remembered it halfway through. He's such a long name, I remembered it halfway through.
I thought you actually said Gerald Manley.
No, he said John Manley Hopkins.
John, yeah. Yes.
Brother of Gerald was as far as I got.
48 seconds, Stephen. Back with you, my favourite poet starting now.
Though you'd have to go a very long way to beat John Keats. My heart aches and a drowsy numbness pains my senses, though of hemlock I'd drunk with.
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
It might be his favourite poem, and that's not his favourite poet.
It's an example of my favourite poet's poetry.
Oh, I thought that's how you felt.
I'm sorry. Thank you for allowing me.
So, Clement, to understand, because he's quoting from John Keats, he's deviating?
Yes.
No. So, Stephen, another point, and my favourite poet still with you, and 41 seconds available starting now.
Johnny's old house by the Spanish steps in Rome is a marvellous place of pilgrimage.
Clement Challenge.
John.
John, yes.
I didn't say it twice. Said
you repeated it.
I said Johnny. I said Johnny's old house, because otherwise I'd be repeating John.
Oh, that's right.
I said Johnny. Yeah. Oh. I have to. Yeah.
You're very clever at this game. Right, 37 seconds, Stephen. My favourite poet starting now.
It contains manuscripts to his various odes to Grecian urns, nightingales, autumn. They love to do these kind of odey things, those romantic poets. Shelley was famous for his one to the West Wind, and also, of course, to the marvellous...
Clement Challenge.
Of course.
Of course. Very likely, yes. That was... Well, listen, Clement, at last you got in with my favourite poet. 23 seconds starting now.
I think Edna St. Vincent Millay is my favourite poet because her name is so long. For a name in a game like this, nothing is better.
Paul, you
hesitation.
Tell. I'm afraid there was. Yes, Paul. So you've got my favourite poet. 13 seconds starting now.
Perhaps the work of John Betjeman, all those marvellous poems about church bells and disappearing libraries in Hendon. What a wonderful poet laureate he was. Perhaps much finer than the one...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of perhaps.
Yes, you did say perhaps before.
Perhaps supposes.
And yes. 2 seconds.
Paul. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Say what I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Suppose.
Clement, you've gone in with 2 seconds to go on my favourite poet starting now.
Also Percy Bysshe Shelley.
So Clement Roy with points in that round, including one of the speaking of the whistle, went has moved forward. He's just behind Tony Hawks and Paul Merton, who are equal in second place. Stephen Fry is still our leader. Paul Merton, it is your turn to begin. The subject is packing for a holiday. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I suppose perhaps packing for a holiday is one of those things I really like to do. You get hold of your suitcase, you think to yourself, what am I going to put in first? Socks on the left-hand side, perhaps. Then
Who challenged first? I don't know. He was
Tony, I think.
Everybody.
He was
Tony.
Right.
Yes.
Certainly... Repetition.
Yes, I quite agree.
Yes, definitely repetition.
48 seconds, Tony. Packing for a holiday starting now.
I get irritated when you go to the airport. They say, did you pack your bags yourself? No, a team of footballers did it for me. Who do you think, you stupid woman? I would sometimes say if I was in a bad mood. I'm not now. I packed my bags myself yesterday. It was a wonderful...
Paul Challenge.
Is it repetition of packed my bags?
Nope.
No.
Did they pack before?
Who packed your bags?
Repetition of myself.
I thought we had packed your bags.
Say who packed your bags?
Yeah, repetition of bags, certainly.
Yes, and the bags, right. Paul, you have 32 seconds. Packing for a holiday. 32 seconds, Paul, starting now.
Handkerchiefs on the inside. Trousers.
Clement Challenge.
We've had the side.
No, but that's no, inside the, is one word. No,
inside is one word. Yeah. On the left side for the socks.
Left hand side.
He started off with the socks on the
I'd
left
like
hand
him
side.
To win.
Packing for a holiday. 30 seconds. Tell us about. I'm almost in this suitcase with you. You know, there's so much there. So neat
you're
and tidy.
The next item, wasn't it?
Yes. Would you come and do my packing? It's so neat.
Absolutely.
Right. 30 seconds. Packing for a holiday starting now.
Toothpaste, shaving kit, Nicholas Parsons, folded up neatly so he fits into a nice little package there. And then what you think to yourself, I'm going to take this trunk now to the airport. I'm going to board that plane.
Stephen Charles.
I'm, gonna I'm going to twice. I'm going to. Three words. Right.
And
I'm thinking of a blues lyric.
Oh, yes.
Packing for a holiday with you, Stephen. 19 seconds starting now.
You'd have to include a lot of blues lyrics because Billie Holiday needed these when she was travelling.
Tony Challenge.
Is that a hesitation?
I call that a hesitation.
It was a
mouthful
of teeth, really. Right. It was a mess.
So, 15 seconds.
About packing for,
packing
Billie
holiday. For a holiday is with you, Tony, starting now.
Packing for a holiday is really best to do when you're.
Paul Charles.
Best to do.
Best to do.
It's best to do. It's really best to do.
Well, you're like my bloody English teacher, you are. Leave me alone. It's best to do. There's nothing wrong with it.
Major lapse.
I don't think it was a major lapse of grammar.
No, I think it was perhaps the way you said it.
It was a little bit of colloquial English, which he occasionally indulges in. I will give you the benefit of the doubt. You got it very early this time. And you have 11 seconds on packing for a holiday starting now.
Not a good thing to do if you're going to work and not going.
Clement Foy Challenge.
Good.
Good, yes.
Repeat.
Yeah. What?
He said it before.
Yes, he said good before. Yeah. Not a good thing to do, and you said before.
I
it is
not
a good
to
thing
do,
to do.
He said best to do.
Actually,
you know?
Everything I said, I'd said before.
Clement's got in with 8 seconds on packing for a holiday starting now.
I think peaking for a holiday is a very good resort.
Paul Challenge.
I'm going mad here. I thought he'd mispronounced the word packing. But he said Peking. But of course, it's no longer known as Peking because it's changed its name, so it's deviation.
I know it as Peking.
And who do they know you as? Clement Froude?
Well, we do get letters, you know.
Yeah, you get letters.
Yes, I get letters.
But despite that, you still turn up, don't you?
It does, he turns up.
Don't boo him, he's right in front of you.
The letters I get from Asia are some of the loveliest and most complimentary letters I've ever had in my life.
Nicholas, yeah. I write those.
6 seconds, Clement, an incorrect challenge with you still, packing for a holiday starting now.
Packing for a holiday is a very useful thing to do unless you want to lose your luggage, in which case it is totally...
So, we are moving into the last round.
Oh.
You could make more of that, actually. Sounds like a lot of nanny goats trying to... baying for their mates. Clement Freud was then speaking with the whistle when gained an extra point, and we're all very close as we move into the final round. Clement is only just in fourth place. He's a couple of points behind Paul Merton, who's 1 point behind Tony Hawkes, who's 1 point behind Stephen Fry. So it's very, very close and could be anybody's game. And a lovely subject to finish on, how to look cool. Clement, you look the coolest of all of us at the moment. And I'm sure you are a cool customer anyway. Will you talk on that subject? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Ideally, you get into a refrigerator with a glass door and you'll be amazed how cool you look to people passing by. Alternately, choose friends who have poor eyesight and then whatever happens, they are likely to say, what a cool type this type is.
Stephen, you challenge.
I didn't
well, there
to
were
win.
Two types as well as quite a pause as well.
Yes, there is a bit. But you don't get you don't get 2 points, but you just get one for either. And there's 40 seconds on how to look cool starting now.
Wear mirror shades and black and be an arsehole. Because frankly, it's a ghastly American thing, isn't it? Being cool. I can't bear it. Where's heart? Where's soul, spirit, love, joy, pleasure?
Clement challenge.
Earth, wind, fire.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Two wares.
Yes, where, yes. Where, oh, where.
And I inadvertently said arsehole as well, which I do apologise.
I said it again.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm
Nicholas,
so
Nicholas, are we allowed to have arseholes on the BBC?
suppose it depends who you're looking at. And Pennant has got a correct challenge. He's got
what was the challenge? I never heard it.
Where to where?
Oh, right, very good.
You see, I do concentrate.
Oh, no, you said it.
How did it go with the Queen, by the way?
Yeah. What's that?
How did it go with the Queen?
That is repetition, you've asked. 30 seconds, Clement, on how to look cool starting now.
Different sports demand differing clothes.
Sorry, Paul, challenge.
I thought it was a slight hesitation there.
No.
Really? Oh, Clement's right.
There was somebody knocking.
There was somebody who was knocking and thumping.
I don't know. Yes, he knocked twice. That was the repetition.
And your light came on. Clement, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You have another point. You have 27 seconds on how to look cool starting now.
If you want to go to the Marylebone Cricket Club at Lord's in St John's Wood, the way to look cool is to wear the proper clothes and a tie, which is red and yellow.
Stephen Charles.
It's an enormous pause. He said, if you want to look cool at the very beginning of the sentence, and that's what he said at the very beginning of his first one, if you want to look cool, get into a fridge. That's sort of the wants, which aren't
well,
on
how
the...
to look cool is on the...
Yes, but not want, the... darling. Want. Want. He said want twice, darling. If you want to look cool...
You're quite right, yes. He did. Sorry. I was concentrating and I was listening.
Sorry.
He did say want. He said, say, if you want to look cool, I'm sorry, Clement.
No.
It's a repetition of want.
I don't want to win this game.
18 seconds, Stephen, on how to look cool, starting now.
As I say, rather unpleasant people, it seems to me, look cool, and I don't like it. I think people should look nice and charming and sweet.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes.
Oh, good point.
And charming as well, which you said
before.
Was it?
Oh, dear.
Yes. 12 seconds on how to look cool with you, Tony, starting now.
I feel slightly sorry for the listeners at home who can't see the good example of how to look cool from our esteemed chairman, who in every sense epitomises style, charm...
Do you want another bonus point?
Yes, please.
So Tony Hawkes was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. And naturally, after the lovely things he said, won't be tempted to give him another bonus point. But I'm always very fair. I like to see justice played. And I give you the final score now. And they are very, very close. So, how do you say there's a winner? They're all winners. They've all done well. But in ascending order, it was Clement Freud in fourth place, then Paul Merton, and only 1 point ahead was Tony Hawkes, and only 1 point ahead was Stephen Fry. But as we have to announce the winner, we'll say, Stephen, you're the winner this week. Thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful and clever and funny players of the game, Paul Merton, Stephen Fry, Tony Hawkes and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle so delicately. We thank our producer-director, that is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we're very indebted to this lovely audience. So from our lovely audience here, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the four lovely panellists, goodbye. Tune in the next time you play Just a Minute. Thank you.